I'm Kayla Ali, and welcome to the Ali Perspective. And let's talk about our NFL biggest winners and losers. You know how we start every episode, so let's jump right on into it. Our biggest winner, both are coming from Monday Night Football. Up first, we have Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, okay? They are out to a 3-0 start, and I'm not going to lie, I was a little skeptical about them because they don't have that dominant wide receiver one after they let Stephon Diggs go to the Houston Texans. And then after that, in the draft, they decided to select back in the draft and let Xavier Worthy go to the Kansas City Chiefs. And we saw how Xavier is doing with the Kansas City Chiefs. So I was a little skeptical about them coming in, but in the first 3 weeks, they look good. Josh Allen looks like an MVP contender. I mean, he went 23 for 30, 263 yards with 4 touchdowns. All four passing touchdowns were by four different players. I mean, before halftime was even over, the game was over. I mean, Buffalo just straight out dominated the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I'd give a shout out, besides Josh Allen, two other Bills players that I would be wrong if I didn't mention them. First up, James Cook. He is getting better and better. Every year he gets better and better, and he's contributing more to the offense, and he's becoming more of a focal point on offense. His hands have gotten better from catching passes from Josh Allen out of the backfield. I mean, he's a threat in the red zone catching the ball just as much as he is running the ball. So I like to give a shout out to him. And of course, DeMar Hamlin for getting his first interception of his career. I mean, we all saw what happened to him that Monday night when his heart stopped, and I am thankful for the first responders. Ooh, guys, I couldn't get that one out. But you know what I'm saying. Shout out to the first responders for able to bring him back and get him to safety and get the medical treatment that he deserves. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have been seeing him get his first career interception, okay? So, the Bills are 3-0. Let's see what the rest of the season holds for them. But, I mean, Josh Allen looks like he's MVP ready, and he's protecting the ball way better than he has, I think, in the beginning of this season, more than what he has in the beginning of other seasons. So shout out to him for now not trying to force things and just letting things come to him. And also, their offensive coordinator seems to be a match made in heaven right now. So shout out to the Bills. And next up, of course, I got to talk about the Washington Commanders. Now, if you guys remember and you're faithful watchers, like I hope you guys are, not even hope, like I know you guys are, I had Jaden Daniels coming out being the offensive rookie of the year. And I mean, in his performance last night, looks like I could be right. Now, I know we have a long season to go, but I mean, you're talking about a rookie quarterback that went 21 of 23. Yes, you heard that right. Only had 2 incompletions for 254 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, he had the same amount of touchdowns as he did incompletion. I mean, how much better could you get than that? It seems like him and his offensive coordinator are locked in. And I know the Bengals was talking trash before, saying that the Commanders are just operating a college-style offense, but that college-style offense put up 38 points against your defense, okay? So shout-out to Jaden Daniels, and shout-out to the Commanders for giving Jaden Daniels a good offensive coordinator, someone that is going to find the scheme that works for him so they can build around him, okay? So I'm excited to see what the Commanders are going to look like. I mean, looking at the division they're in, so it's going to get tougher for them with the Eagles, and I don't know about the Cowboys, but at least with the Eagles, it's going to be exciting to see that conference, okay? So now let's move on to our biggest losers, okay? Let's start with the Cincinnati Bengals. You guys are 0-3. I'm not going to lie. With a healthy Joe Burrow, I did not see the Cincinnati Bengals starting 0-3, okay? Last season, it made sense that they started 0-2, and they started slow because Burrow was just getting back to himself. To me, it makes no sense right now why they're 0-3. A lot of people are starting to point fingers at Joe Burrow, but I mean, he had a pretty solid game. He had no turnovers. The offense gained 463 yards. They had 30 first downs. I mean, that was the first game since 1940 that no punt or no turnover was committed during the game. Okay, so that means instead of looking at Joe Burrow, let's start to look at the defense. Why is the defense not getting off the field? Why is the defense just allowing them to score that much, okay? I mean, I get it. Joe Burrow, he's supposed to be the winner. They went to the Super Bowl. This is a team that went to the Super Bowl, and it seems like every year they're regressing and regressing and regressing. So very skeptical about them and what they have. And I mean, that division is tough. That's a tough division. So they got to figure out what's wrong, and they got to work it out soon, all right? And now moving on to our next biggest losers. Am I happy saying their names? Yes, I am. The Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys, you decided to spend your money on your wide receiver one, which, I mean, that was warranted. He is a top five wide receiver in the NFL right now. And you decide to spend the money on Dak Prescott. I'm not even mad at that, because in the regular season, Dak is that guy. Just can't win playoff games. But in the regular season, he's that guy. So you decide to put all your money towards the passing game, okay? Because wide receiver one, quarterback, only way they're going to get a connection is by what? Passing the ball. And then you decide that you're going to have your running game be a run game by committee. So you have three different running backs, but your running backs suck. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You have three rushers against the Ravens, and your biggest rusher only had 32 yards. We're in the NFL. That's not going to win you any games. Yes, you guys start to have life in the end of the third and the fourth quarter, but that was because of the Ravens' defense, not necessarily because you guys was just so good. And, of course, the Ravens had some questionable play calling, but you guys got to figure out what you're going to do with the run game, because right now teams are making you one-dimensional. We all know when you become one-dimensional in the NFL, you're beatable. You're very beatable. Okay, so you guys got to figure out what's wrong, and you're on the clock. You're on the clock. We're three games in, you're 1-2. And it seems like every week you're getting worse and worse and worse. Sometimes you got to spend the money on the running back. You just have to. Okay, that way your team isn't one-dimensional. So, Cowboys, you got to figure it out. Okay, and another honorable mention, their biggest. Some might consider them a biggest loser, but the 49ers, okay? Some people are saying it's an overreaction to talk about them being 1-2 right now, but the injuries just keep piling up on them. So it's not their fault. The injury bug just got them. So I hope to see them healthy so they can be contenders again, because when they are contenders, they're fun to watch. I love fun to watch teams, okay? And I wish that they will get healthier. Now, normally this is the time where I talk about college football, okay? But I'm not going to lie, you guys. Last week, I'd only really watched one college football game, and that was the Tennessee and Oklahoma game, because they were one of my Ali picks, and I had Tennessee winning, and I was correct, okay? Our Oklahoma's defense stepped up to the plate. Offense, I mean, you have offensive linemen that's missing assignments or they don't know their assignments. You have a newer quarterback that's kind of, he makes the right decisions, but, I mean, he fumbled the ball after the defense got the ball back in plus territory. I mean, he fumbled on the first play after the defense got the ball at the 5-yard line. Fumbles. Very next play. Then they get another key fumble, and they're within the 20-yard line. And next play, what he does, fumble. So the offense has to figure it out. But I am very much impressed with Oklahoma. They look to have an SEC-caliber defense, which is something that they haven't had. But the offense have always been ahead of the defense in Oklahoma. So it's strange to see it changing now. But, I mean, we have Brent Venables as our head coach, and he's a defensive guy. So it kind of makes sense. But they're going to have to figure it out on the offensive side of the ball. Now, next week in college football, we have Alabama taking on the Georgia Bulldogs. I cannot wait to see that game. Okay, Kirby Smart is undefeated against top five opponents in the regular season. And Kellen Dobar, he's 12-2 against top five opponents. Now, I think that game is going to be a little bit more of a shootout than people are anticipating. And the only reason why I say that is because Alabama is going to have a high-powered offense. I mean, they have a strong run game, and the offensive line is healthy. I mean, Jalen Milroe is going to have a good pocket to throw the ball. We all know he's a better deep ball passer than he is short and intermediate routes, and the run game is sensational. So it's going to be hard for Georgia's defense to stop them. Alabama's Achilles heel is going to be their secondary defense. If you look back at their previous games, especially against USF and Wisconsin, wide receivers get behind their DBs consistently. It just so happened that the opponent's quarterbacks have not been able to get the ball to the receivers. And with the quarterback that Georgia has, I can see them getting deep plays, the chunk plays, the explosive plays. It's going to be there. Now, the thing about it is, are they going to be able to connect? Okay? But I think it's going to be a great game, and I'll give you my pick later on in the show, all right? Next, I want to talk about the WNBA. Biggest winner, of course, the unanimous MVP, Aja Wilson. She is only the second unanimous MVP. Now, this really should have been her second unanimous MVP, but that's neither here nor there. But, I mean, Aja Wilson was named the unanimous MVP because she led the league in points per game with 26.9. She became the first player to score over 1,000 points in the season. She also had the most rebounds this season. I mean, she was the definition of dominant the entire season from the very first game. Okay, I know it feels like people have been talking about her winning the MVP the entire season. That's because she has been dominant the entire season. She may have, I think out of 40 games, maybe 4 to 5 games where she was a little bit below average. But, I mean, she completely dominated the entire season. And that's what you want to see out of your MVP. Okay? Now, my biggest losers in the WNBA, I'm going to give it to all of the commentary. Not all. The real WNBA fans, they have had great commentary about the season. All of the newer WNBA fans, they have had, I hate to say it, but some of the worst takes I have ever seen about professional sports, okay? I mean, I'm getting notifications on my phone about Caitlin Clark getting fouled hard, but I'm not getting notifications on my phone about Aja Wilson winning MVP. I'm not getting notification from ESPN about Nafisa Collier scoring 38 points when she, in the first playoff game for her team. I mean, like, come on, guys. Let's be fair. I'm watching Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp talk about Caitlin Clark when all these great WNBA players are doing their thing. They're being dominant. I'm not even hearing them talk about Aja Wilson and her unanimous MVP, the second woman to do this in the WNBA. I'm not hearing them talk about how Nafisa Collier is leading the Lynx to them doing great things, or how the Seattle Storm are having a great season with Jewel Lloyd and Skylar Diggins. I'm not hearing about these other great players who are contributing and doing great things, because everyone wants to talk about Caitlin Clark. And don't get me wrong, Caitlin Clark is a great player. She is the future GOAT of WNBA. Like, I'm not trying to sit here and say she's overrated or anything like that. Her numbers speak for themselves, but she's not the only woman that's playing, okay? She's not the only dominant force in the league. She's great to watch. I'd love to watch her play. But it's time for people to be fair. These are paid professionals who are bypassing other greats just to sit one person on a pedestal. That's not fair, and it's not right. So that's why when you come to the Ali perspective, we're going to be fair, and we're going to be straight. That's what I'm not seeing. So I'm going to give you what I want to be shown. Okay. So shout out to Caitlin Clark. Keep doing your thing. Thanks for bringing more eyes to the WNBA. But let's not forget the people who was already there. That's all I'm saying. That's all I want to. I had to get that off my chest because I've kind of glanced over it the last few weeks, but I figure it's time I actually say what I mean and mean what I say. Okay? So let's get into Ollie Picks. Yeah, that's where we're at right now, guys. Last week, I went, if I'm not mistaken, I predicted Tennessee was going to win, and I was correct. I also predicted that the Eagles was going to win, and I was correct. And I also predicted that the Ravens was going to beat the Cowboys. So that means I was 3-0 last week. Let's see if I can be 3-0. So let's start Ollie Picks. Our first game, Georgia and Alabama, okay? I talked about it earlier, but now it's time to finally put my pick in. I'm going to go with the Georgia Bulldogs. I think Georgia's going to pull it off. I think they have a better defensive roster than Alabama currently does, and that's in the secondary. Not necessarily up front, but in the secondary. The secondary has let too many people get behind them. Now things might change because you have a week off. You have a time to get your young guys in the film room more, figure out what they need to do so that wide receivers don't bypass them. But I don't think 1 week is enough time to prepare them for Georgia, considering how much they have been being considerably. So I'm going to give my first pick to the Georgia Bulldogs to go into Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama. Second game, we have the Buffalo Bills and the Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens. Now, this one is going to be interesting. I think the Ravens are hungry to continue to keep winning, but I think their defense is still too suspect. And with how Josh Allen has been playing, as well as how he's been meshing well with his offensive coordinator, who just seems to always make the right play, I think it'll be a game that comes down to the wire. Because Lamar's also playing lights out. I mean, if you look at his rushing yards, his completion percentage, his passing yards, he is currently leading the league right now. His defense has just been letting him down. So I'm going to have to give the edge to the Buffalo Bills. I think the Buffalo Bills is going to go 4-0. And the Ravens are going to drop to 1-3. But I think the Ravens will figure it out later on in the season as they continue to grow and get better. But yeah, I think the Ravens will still be a playoff team, but I think they are going to start 1-3. And for the final game for our league picks, I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints. Both of them are my divisional rivals. And I'm going to go with New Orleans. I'm going to go with New Orleans on this one. I think New Orleans just have the better team right now. I think they played horrible last week, but sometimes you have to come off your high horse. I mean, averaging 46 points in the first two games of the NFL season, you got to come down at some point. And that's the Eagles gave them a reality check. I think the Falcons are going to have a good defense, but I'm still a little suspect of Kirk Cousins, okay? A lot of times they've just had some blown coverages that had just allowed them to get touchdowns and to score more. But I think the Saints have the full package, and I think the Saints are for real. So I'm going to go with the Saints. Okay? So that is my Ali picks. Let's see if I go 6-0. I have a feeling that one of these, I'm going to be wrong about one of these, and I think it's going to be the college game. I think Alabama might sneak it out in the end, but like I said, I'm going with Georgia. That is my pick, and I'm sticking by it. Okay? But like I said, those are both great teams, both great coaches. So it's going to be fun and exciting to watch on Saturday night. Okay? But once again, I am Kayla Ali, and this is the Ali Perspective. If you are watching me on YouTube, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. You guys didn't get me the likes that I needed to give you guys prize picks. So this episode, let's do it, okay? Let's make it happen. And if you're listening, please continue to listen. Like it, share it, let me know, give me feedback. I like feedback, okay, guys? But this is the Ali Perspective, and I'm Kayla Ali. See you next week.